So we've been talking about Why Church. That's our series right now. And we've also began this idea of Why Church and what it has to do regarding making disciples. So that's where we are. We started that last week. And as we look at Jesus' ministry, we find that because of his personality, because of his love, because of his compassion, because of his miracles, because of feeding people, thousands of people with a few fish and a couple of biscuits, they flocked to him, okay? And so he had this crowd that was around him quite often. But here's what we find is that Jesus is more interested in followers. He's more interested in the disciples than he is the number who attend his teachings. He really wasn't interested in drawing a crowd so much as he was interested in people becoming followers, disciples. He wasn't trying to build a mega church. He was trying to build people. You know, as I've prayed over the years, I've been here 29 years. Last month. Getting old. But been here 29 years, and you know, as I've prayed over the years, Lord, I want you to grow the church. And I every time I pray that, I hear the Lord say to Brad, Brad, you grow the people, and I'll grow the church. You grow the people, and I'll grow the church. And so my heart is to help you grow. That's why we go through these messages, is because I don't want you to stay an infant all your life. I want you to grow up. I want you to become a disciple of Christ, not just a convert, but a disciple of Christ. And so Jesus only had a few disciples. He had a large crowd, but he had a few disciples. And my heart is that you become a disciple of Christ. See, Jesus, now, his charisma drew people. But he wasn't interested in his charisma enticing a following. He was interested in his following being real, authentic, passionate disciples. He didn't care if they had an education or not. He didn't care if they were the meanest, ugliest, cruelest, demon-infested individuals. He could change all that. Okay? He didn't really care. All he cared about is if they were willing to count the cost and lay it all down to follow him. That's what he was concerned with. He told the crowd, before you make a commitment to become a disciple, count the cost. Because it will cost you. It may cost your family. It may cost your job. It may cost your life. In one way or another, it's going to cost you. You have to lay it all down. If God says, let it go, we got to let it go. If God says, pick it up, we got to pick it up. If God says, go, we've got to go. If God says, stay, we have to stay. Sometimes we want to run when things get tough. But sometimes we can learn the best whenever those difficult situations come our way, because God may be trying to do something in our heart. And if we keep running from them, we're never going to be what God would have us be. So here's the deal. As disciples of Christ, we can't hold the things, even our life, with a closed fist. We can't hold the things that the Lord has given us with a closed fist. We have to open our hands and hold them lightly, because at any time, God could say, lay it down. I read a book called The Insanity of God. That's a weird name or a title for a book, The Insanity of God. And it's written by Nick Ripken. He was a missionary and ministering in Somalia. And as he was ministering in Somalia, one of his sons had an asthma attack. And so Nick was rushing him to the hospital, put the young child in the back seat. I think he was 10 years old, rushing him to the hospital. And before he got to the hospital, his son took his last breath and died. It kind of threw Nick's world in turmoil. He didn't know what to do with that. Here he was trying to serve God with all of his heart, trying to make an impact on a world who did not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And yet, his son was taken. Heartbroken, he and his wife left the mission field. Got back to the United States. Now, by the way, Nick is not his real name because he had to change his name and live in some kind of obscurity because he's ministering in nations where if they knew who he was, his life would be on the line. Okay, so Nick is not his real name. I don't even know his real name. But that's the title or the name of the author for this book. And so Nick got back to the United States, and he's wondering, God, what's going on? And I think you and I would be in the same place. And he began wondering, how do nations or Christians in other nations who have so much torture and torment, how do they continue to serve the Lord? It's a burning question in his heart because it was... For him, it was devastating. And so he began doing interviews. He would go to Russia. He would go to China. He would go to these other areas and do interviews with Christians, with pastors who had gone through torture, gone through torment, had the families killed. And he's wondering, how do you do it? And that's what the book is about, his interviews. A wonderful book. I would encourage you to read it. But did you know that even as I read this book, I realize that God works something good out of a horrible situation. Because through this book, Nick is able to encourage others who are going through difficult seasons. Renee shared a while ago about the individual that wrote, follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. These individuals, disciples, did not intend to have their families taken from them. But they were faithful even when the love of their lives was taken. I shared last week about 10 marks of a disciple, and I'm going to expound on that a bit today. We're probably not going to get through all 10, but I want to... kind of expound on that because, and let me just say, you may say, well, Brad, there's more marks. I know there's more marks, okay, but we got to start somewhere, all right? And here's some, if you get these 10 marks down, the other marks are going to come, all right? So the first mark that we are going to look at is the mark of releasing all unforgiveness. Now, at the end of the message, I told you last week that I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment for Christ. And so at the end of the service, you can take your communication card, you can write on it, and then share with me what your decision is. Now, church, hopefully... This church is not just a place to hang out on Sundays. It's not just a place to get your weekly bread or to fulfill your weekly religious duty. It's a place to do self-checks and grow in your relationship with Christ. And I understand that we're all at different stages in our maturity, okay? Every one of us are at different stages. Some of you are just beginning. Some of you are more mature in your relationship. Some of you are very mature. And so there's no judgment for any of us because all of us started somewhere. Okay? All of us started at the same place. And so if you're not at a place in your life right now that you feel like you can make the commitment to discipleship, that's okay. That's between you and the Lord. Okay? But don't put on your card, I commit to be a disciple and you're not going to go there, because it's better if you counted the cost. I told you this week, count the cost. Right? Count the cost. Hopefully you've reflected on that and you've decided, yes, I'm going to become a disciple of Christ, or you're kind of like, I'm going to wait a bit. And that's okay. Either way, it's okay. So I'm going to go through these 10 markers rather quickly. The first one is release all unforgiveness. Now, forgiving someone can be very difficult, especially if they've caused pain or trauma in your life. But here's the deal. You can never find peace in your heart, and you can never find peace with the Lord until you've addressed these issues. Jesus said that God would forgive you only if you forgive someone else. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. So why forgive? The reason we forgive is so that we will be forgiven. In Matthew 6, 14, have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Okay. And there's a portion in there that says, forgive me only if I forgive others. Oh, as we forgive others. Okay. So you forgive me as we forgive others. And then Jesus goes on to say, right after that, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So let me ask you, do you want the Father to forgive you? Is He going to forgive you if you hold unforgiveness in your heart? So one reason that we forgive is so that God will forgive us. Okay? You can't hold on to unforgiveness and offenses and expect the Lord to forgive you. That's what this is saying. There are many who want to draw close to God, but they're not able to. There are many who have prayed asking God's forgiveness and have sincerely cried out for Jesus to save them, but they have no assurance of salvation. The reason may be that they're holding unforgiveness in their heart. They're not going to experience or feel forgiven if they have not forgiven someone else. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Seven times. You remember Jesus' response? 70 times seven. And I'm thinking Peter's just kind of blown away. Like, man, do you know what those guys did to me? Just keep on forgiving. Be quick to forgive. Don't hold on to offense. Just keep on forgiving. Just keep on forgiving. Why forgive? Anger allows Satan a foothold. In Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable, and he tells a parable about this master who's has a servant that owes him $300 million. And he says to the master, I can't pay, but I will pay. There's no way he's going to pay that. And the master says, I forgive you. But as he's skipping out of the master's house and really just very joyful that he's been forgiven, he bumps into a fellow that owes him $3,000. And he's unwilling to forgive that person. Chapter 18, 31. Says, when some of other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And the king called the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as if I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So why forgive? The reason we forgive is to be released from prison and torture. That's one of the reasons we forgive. Did you know that if you do not forgive, that you're in prison? It's not the other person. You're the one in prison. You're the one being tortured. So it's kind of like this. You don't have to answer this, but have you ever had to pay bail for somebody who was in jail? Let's just say that someone comes into your house and steals items from your home, things that are very dear to you. You know who it is. The police arrest them and put them in jail. And they're wanting somebody to pay the bail. And so you say, good luck. God says, if you bail them out, I'll bail you out. That's crazy, huh? If you bail them out, I'll bail you out. And a lot of times we hold on to these grudges and want something horrible to happen to them. And God says, you forgive them, I'll forgive you. I've given to you a piece, or Dana, I think, shared with you a forgiveness worksheet. We're not going to go through that, but this is something you can take home and work on personally, okay? Because I want you to release all debts so that you can receive from God what God wants to give you. First marker is release unforgiveness. The second marker is to be filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When I talk about filling at this juncture, we're talking about empowerment by the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus wants to empower you to be his witnesses in Tillamook, in Oregon, in the United States, and throughout the world. So why should we be filled and empowered by the Spirit? Because we need Spirit power to accomplish heaven's work. We need Spirit power to accomplish heaven's work. Can we stop a minute? I feel like there's a resistance, and I don't know why. Okay? So let's just stop and pray. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I don't know what's going on. But we come against every principality, every power, every spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that would try to stop your word from going forth. And I command those spirits to go to the feet of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. And Lord, I don't know. I'm trying to sense what you're saying to your church. But God, there may be some here today who's just, they've been hurt. And they've taken offense. And rather than forgiving, they're holding on to that. And so, Lord, I pray that today you would help them. God, it's not easy, especially when we've been hurt in a deep level of our lives. A wounded heart. But Lord, you can only heal if we're willing to forgive. And so Lord, I just submit this to you, and I submit this to this congregation. Lord, I pray that each one would check their heart right now. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal any unforgiveness. And Lord, there's some here that may need help in sorting through that and working through that. And Lord, we just ask that you would give them the humility to ask for help and the desire to go further with you. God, my heart goes out to those who've been deeply wounded. My heart goes out to those who've been brokenhearted. But Lord, you're the only one who can bring healing. And so we submit this to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Jeannie says she feels like there are some who are not forgiving themselves. And so that God has paid the price for you. Okay? And whatever you've done in John 1:9, God says that he will forgive and he will cleanse if we confess. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay? So you can use this same material that I've handed to you and put your name there and what you feel like you've done that you can't be forgiven for. There are some people who are unable perhaps to receive God's forgiveness because of past sin. But God loves you. God desires a relationship with you. And he wants you to know that you can experience forgiveness if you will just receive that. Prison's door isn't locked.
It is open. You can step out. You can get yourself out through Christ. You don't have to stay there.
Okay. You can get yourself out through Christ. You don't have to stay there. And it sounds like Jeannie has walked that. So if you need to talk to someone who's walked out of that, then you talk to Jeannie. Okay? She can help you. All right? Thank you, Jeannie. Yes. Okay. Would you come up here, please? Got number 11.
The picture, he speaks to me in pictures, and the picture that I'm getting is, you know those sticker bushes with the pretty purple flower at the top, you know? When you grab hold of it, those thorns are going into your flesh. They're going to dig in. They're going to stay there. And what Pastor is talking about is you have to let that go before you can be healed, before those thorns can be pulled out. You have to let it go. And that's what the unforgiveness is. You have to let go of the unforgiveness to be healed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Laura. Forgiveness is tough. Forgiveness is tough. I remember having to walk through this, and there were some people I didn't want to forgive. because of the injuries that had taken place in my life. But I wanted to be free more than I wanted to hold on to the injustices. And so I'm just encouraging you. I want freedom for you. And whether you determine to become a disciple or not, you still need to do this. Okay? Because Jesus wants your freedom. He died for your freedom. Don't allow someone else to keep you from walking in freedom. Okay? Do not allow someone else to keep you from walking in freedom. I think we're going to stop there today. I think that's a good place to stop. I had several more things. But I think that's a good place to stop. I think we need to reflect on this. I think we need to do some homework and heart work. And as I want freedom for you. I want freedom for you. Let's bow our heads. And I want to pray for you. But in order for me to do that, I need you to be honest with me. As I was sharing this morning, did anyone come into your mind or heart that you needed to forgive? Would you just raise your hand? Okay. Several? Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. About half the congregation. So let me ask you a question. Is there one here who feels like they need to forgive themselves for something? Okay. Thank you. Several of you. All right. So I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? Thank you. Father, I come before you today. Lord, your grace is sufficient. I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. Be careful lest anyone fail or fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lord, anytime we carry unforgiveness, it affects relationships. Not only our relationship with you, but our relationship with others. It's like a poison. And Lord, oftentimes we respond or react toward people who did not injure us when we can't react or respond to people who did. And Lord, they either become bitter with us or they become bitter at us. And so this morning, just ask for your grace. Sometimes it's hard to forgive, but you said that you'll give us grace to forgive. Be careful lest anyone fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you. And so, Lord, what I understand from that passage of Scripture is anytime someone offends us, you give us the grace to forgive. And so, Lord, I'm praying right now that you would give each person the grace to forgive. Even if it's not by their own desire, Lord, give them the will, the want to, through your Spirit. And Lord, that they receive that. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for where you're taking us. I thank you for freedom as we walk out of these dark areas. Heal hearts, I pray. as forgiveness comes. In Jesus' name.